For those of you who don't know me, if you are a visitor tonight, my name is Matt, and I am on the teaching team here at LCF, and great to be with you and really excited for the chance to get to share tonight. So tonight we're going to wrap up our last teaching in this series on LCF's core values. If you guys remember way back a few months ago, we talked about how foundational to everything that we do is we want to know God. We want to walk with God. We want each member to have intimate, close, personal relationship with God. We've talked about community, and now we've moved on to talking about this last core value, and that's extending the kingdom. And tonight, we're going to talk about planting churches. So we've talked about evangelism, we've talked about discipleship, and kind of the third step in this process of extending the kingdom, planting churches. Before we get into it tonight, let's pray. And I thought as a church, it would be good if we prayed together, pray for the word, but then also let's pray for the VBS together. As we're here tonight as a congregation, let's lift up what's going to happen next week and believe that God is going to use it and do something with it. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, as Dan prayed earlier, we welcome you here tonight. We need your spirit to open up the word for us. We need you to speak to us tonight by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would do that, that you would stir up in each heart here a passion and a desire for growing your church in Lexington. And we pray specifically for VBS next week, Lord, that you would do a work at that VBS, that you would sow the seeds that would, years from now, lead to a new church, that you would plant seeds that would last for eternity at this VBS, Lord. And we pray just logistically that you would be with all of the organizers, all of the teachers that are going to be with the kids. And we just pray for a special blessing and anointing on them to bring your word. And we just pray that you would do a work, that you would move, Lord. We believe that you will in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So anybody that knows me knows I am not a scientist. I'm like the farthest thing from like a science guy. I was very average in school when it came to science things. I still, have nightmares about my honors chemistry class. By far, my least favorite class I ever took in school. So I'm not a scientist, but I do know enough to know that one of the kind of underlying principles in biology centers around this idea of reproduction. And actually, part of studying biology is discerning whether or not something is alive, like a virus, for example. And biologists will say that one of the signs that is evidence that proves that something is alive is if it is reproducing itself. If it's able to reproduce itself, that is a sign of life. And I think we can say the same principle applies to churches, right? One sign of a healthy church, a church that is alive, a church that is growing, that is bearing fruit, is that it is reproducing itself. That's what church planting is all about. This idea of fruitfulness, of growth, multiplication, it's something that's baked into the very fabric of creation, something we see in the heart of God at the very, very beginning. You guys remember this, right? God makes Adam and Eve. And Genesis tells us that God makes Adam and Eve in his image, and he tells them to be fruitful and to multiply. That was their great commission, and that still applies to us today. That there's a recognition here that God desires for his image to spread across all the earth. He desires that man would bear his image and that that image would multiply. He goes further in Genesis chapter 2. We get a little bit more detail about Adam and Eve's story. In verse 24, he says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife." So there's a recognition here that it is better for one family to become two. The man needs to leave his father and his mother and start his own family with his wife. That's how creation is set up. God wants us to be fruitful and to multiply. And part of that multiplication is leaving, a separation, leaving where you came from to go and create something new. That's how God wants it to be. It's how he designed it from the beginning. So we want to be a church that is alive, right? We want to do this. We want fruit. We want multiplication. We want to bear the image of God and then spread that image throughout Lexington, right? So we've talked about evangelism, we've talked about discipleship. Tonight we're talking about church planting. And the first thing that I want to say about church planting is that planting churches is just the natural outcome when we're obedient to those other things. It's the natural outcome of growth within the church. If we are evangelizing, if we are making disciples, then church planting will be the necessary logical outcome as a result of that. If we're not planting churches, then those other things probably are not happening in the way that they should. So that's the process that we're given to. We dedicate ourselves to seeking the kingdom of God first, like Kenton talked about at the beginning of this series. We use our unique giftings to participate with a team in evangelism, sharing the saving news of Jesus' life and his love and his sacrifice. And then we jointly participate in helping others grow to adopt the character and nature and life of Jesus. And when we do that together, our church is going to bear fruit. It's going to multiply. And we also talked about this in the context of discipleship and evangelism, but this principle that God wants to work with man. He wants to call you up as a son or daughter. He wants you to receive your identity as a child of God and join him in this work of what he's doing. And what's his work? What is he all about? His business is building his church. Previously, he spoke through prophets. He used the people of Israel that were meant to be his image bearers in the earth, although they failed, so that nations could see what God was like. But now, today, he is working through his church. That is how he has chosen to work in the world in 2025. So we're called to evangelize. We're called to disciple, we're called to build the church, and in our context here in Lexington at LCF, that means church planting. Our method for extending the kingdom of God in Lexington is evangelism that leads to discipleship, that leads to planting churches. And I just want to say, you know, at the front here, that it is so easy for me to lose sight of this vision, especially kind of in the place where I'm at, like young family, you know, within the first like 10 years of my career. It is so tempting to turn inward and to focus on all my own problems, what I need to accomplish, my own responsibilities and getting caught up in the cares of the world or what I need to achieve. And so I wanted to start tonight and talk about why should we care about giving ourselves to planting churches? Why should we care about doing evangelism and discipleship and church planting? Why should we do this? I've got four reasons that I want to share with you. There's way more than four, but I'm going to share four tonight. So number one, why should we care about church planting? It's the work that Jesus commanded us to do. It's the work that Jesus commanded us to do. We've been talking about the Great Commission the past couple of weeks, and I just want to read it again for us tonight. This is in Matthew chapter 28, 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Notice the very first thing he does here is he establishes his authority. Think about a situation where you've been in, where you've been around somebody that has great authority. Maybe it's like a prominent politician or like an esteemed researcher, educator, or like a celebrity athlete, somebody like that. The atmosphere, when someone like that walks in a room, there's just like a buzz. And everyone is just like hanging on every word, locked in completely in that moment. Now multiply that times a million when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So we should probably pay attention to what he's going to say next. And he tells us to go and make disciples. This was Jesus' last command. It's his primary charge to the church. "I've given you a way of life. I have showed you how to live during my ministry. Now go and enroll other people in my way of doing things." That's what we're called to do, to raise up Christians who are in the school of learning Jesus' life, how he lived, how he walked. It says we're supposed to baptize them and teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. So there's this explicit call here to evangelize, to baptize, and to disciple, teaching others to walk in the ways of Jesus. And what is the end product of all of this? What is this type of effort going to produce if we're obedient to this call? This is Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" We have received a mission to extend the kingdom of God from Jesus. And the result of that mission is going to be a global church conformed to the image of his Son, made up of all tribes, all tongues, all nations, presented as a bride to our bridegroom, Jesus. So that's why we should be about planting churches. This right here is the mission that we have received from Jesus. Amen. Amen. So that's number one. We've received a mission from Jesus. That's why we should care about planting churches. Number two, it's the work that Jesus himself is engaged in right now. This is in Matthew, after Peter has confessed that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So zero in on this phrase, "I will build my church." Jesus does not promise to build a school. He's not building a medical clinic. He's not building a government agency. Remember, he has been given all authority, and he says here with complete and absolute authority, "I will build my church." It's the work that he is engaged in. We get a picture of this in Acts in chapter 2 after Pentecost when it says that the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord added. So building churches is what Jesus is doing. It's what he continues to do. And nothing, not even hell itself, can stop Jesus from accomplishing this work. He's doing it through us, but the call, the mission, originated with him. It is his church, and he is building it. So that's number two. It's the work that Jesus is currently engaged in. Number three, it's the work that the disciples did after Jesus ascended. Now, this may seem like an oversimplification, but one reason why we should focus on planting churches is it's what the disciples did after Jesus left them and went to heaven. So upon hearing the teachings of Jesus, receiving the Great Commission, receiving the Holy Spirit, the disciples decided that Jesus was telling them to do something. And what they thought he was telling them to do actually means something important. And they planted churches. That's what they did. Thomas, according to historians, went to India to plant churches. We know Paul went to Asia Minor to plant churches. And we obviously know about Paul's many missionary journeys as well. So when Jesus says, I will build my church, the disciples respond by joining in that work with him and planting churches themselves. They received the life of Jesus. They received his teaching, lived with him for years, watched him die, watched him rise again. And after he was gone, their response was, let's go build churches. Let's go plant churches. And so that they believed that that is what they should be doing, that should mean something to us as well. All right, so that's number three. It's what the disciples did after Jesus left them. And then number four, we should care about planting churches because seeing the lost brought in to the church is God's heart for the world. Remember that picture that we get from Revelation, the church, a bride made up of all nations, all tribes, all languages. God wants every human soul to participate in that final global church that we see in Revelation. We know from 2 Peter, God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And likewise in 1 Timothy, God desires that all people should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's heart is to leave the 99 and go seek after the one, the lost sheep. God's heart is to sweep the whole house until he finds that lost coin and then rejoice with his friends when it's found. God cares for and deeply desires that every human heart would be saved and come to a knowledge of him. This is Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. The earth will be filled with the glory, with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as waters cover over the sea. What is in God's heart is going to happen. It's going to come to fruition. The whole earth is going to be filled with God's glory. And we can participate with him in making that a reality by planting churches in Lexington. Amen. Now, I think in all of this, it's important to remember that church growth is a mysterious thing. Our call is just to be obedient to it and do it. But how exactly a church gets planted, that's a mystery. Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. We don't know how to grow the kingdom of God. We can be obedient to what we do know, but we do not know how God gives the growth. So let's beware of conferences, beware of books, beware of people who say, hey, I've got the method. I've got a three-step process that you take, and your church is going to grow. You're going to plant. Because we know that's not true. We sow the seed, and God gives the growth. It's like when Paul says, I sowed, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. So we don't know how to plant churches. It's God's doing. It's mysterious. It's deep. It's awesome. You go to bed at night. You wake up in the morning. You sow seed, and it sprouts, and we don't know how. God gives the growth. So we're called to evangelize. We're called to disciple. We're called to build the church. And in our context, that means church planting. So with the remaining time that we have tonight, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the specific way that we do this at LCF. We've received a particular vision when it comes to how we are going to grow our church in Lexington. It's a little bit unique, so let's talk about it. And I'm sharing this for those who are new and maybe have not heard this articulated before, but there's many other people here that could say this better than I am. So please, Matt, Bill, Tom, Kent, correct me when I inevitably mess this up. But so we believe that LCF is called to plant churches in Lexington. And our vision is that when a CF church gets to a certain size, usually around where we're at now, 120, maybe to 150 at the top end, it's time to start to think about planting. So rather than continually letting our membership grow, we make the intentional decision to split and plant off a new church when we get to a certain size. We've done this several times, ECF, TCF, evidence of that. I think TCF is probably actually close to splitting again themselves, so we could have our first grand church, I suppose, whenever that happens. And there's actual church growth theory that you can go and do some research on that says that it's around this number where you have to start kind of adjusting the way you do things. Around 150, you start to lose the ability to like organize things organically. You gotta maybe hire extra staff, and it all starts to become maybe a little bit more programmatic. And you know, the congregation maybe is leaning more on the staff and not participating as they would have otherwise. And so, you know, there's actual like empirical research out there that makes this point as well. It's definitely not like a science. You know, we would never like get to a certain point and say, you know, we're splitting next week because we hit, you know, our threshold here. The keys for us is that we want to ensure that there is a emerging pastor among us and a dynamic team that's surrounding that pastor that is vibrant and growing together, that there is momentum and growth surrounding that that emerging pastor. So it's really more about the emergence of new leadership and less about like sheer numbers or geography. You see a lot of churches planting because of geography. Like, oh, we don't have our Nicholasville church yet, so we're going to plant over there. That's not really a part of our vision here for what we're doing things. And I think it's also important to remember that everything we're doing here, we want to do as a result of the things that we value. So our practices, like the things that we do day in, day out, ideally these should all stem from our values that we hold together, the things that we've been talking about for the past few months. And that includes planting churches. So the way that we plant churches should reflect the things that we value, like community, like making disciples, like knowing God. All of those things should have an impact on the way that we do churches. So how might keeping our numbers small, the way that we do, intentionally planting small churches in Lexington, how might that help with these things, these values that, that we've been talking about? Let's start and talk about community. Think about the teachings that we had about community. What do we talk about? We talked about how we are members one of another. We are the family of God called to walk in love towards one another. We're a body. We've got hands. We've got feet. We've got legs. We've got arms. And we are called to work together for each member to serve in their unique gifting in love towards one another. Another part of community that we talked about is being able to be known and know other people that you're walking with. That church should be a place where true relationship can be walked out with one another. That there's people here that really know us and can speak into our lives. Now take all of that together and think about our church. Can you see why it is advantageous for us to keep our numbers small, to really walk this out, to be unified together, to be of one mind together, walking each member in our own giftings, loving each other, truly being known by one another? These are all things that LCF values, and so it impacts the way that we do church planting. What else? We've talked about the last few weeks, we've talked about evangelism, and we've talked about discipleship. Think about how keeping LCF small impacts our ability to cultivate our efforts in these areas. Rather than getting lost in a crowd or relying on paid minister to carry the load, each member bears equal weight in responsibility in the task of making disciples. And there's joint participation together among all of us participating and engaged in the work. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, each part working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the church should be a place where everyone is participating in the work. People receiving their unique roles, their giftings from God, and walking in those roles, serving one another and serving the church together. So the church is supposed to be a place where there is real joint participation, service for the people of God, and that unifies us in love for one another. So can you see how evangelism and discipleship, how the way that we do things helps in those particular areas? I don't mean for this to like sound like a defense of the way that we're doing things. I just want everyone to kind of get a sense for the heart behind the way that we do things. That we value these things and we believe that God designed church to be this way. So the way that we do that, the best way that we know how so far, is by planting small churches in Lexington. That's not to say in 30 years there's a new and better way, but that's what we're doing now. And I'm not here to say that small churches are the way to go. The first church, if you remember, went from around 100 to 3,000 in one day. And we would love for something like that to happen here. But as American Christians, I think we so often focus on the things that we like about church, the things that like make us happy or fulfill us. But when we look to the Bible, we see that church is a place that equips us to love and to serve and to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And so the best way that we know how to do that is by planting small churches in Lexington, a place where we can have real, honest community, a body that is jointly knit together in love, a place where real growth and discipleship is happening. And when all that happens, planting churches is the logical outcome. And so as we close tonight, I want to ask the question, what are we doing to prepare for the next church plant? Are we really engaged in this work? Is planting the next CF church something that we're really passionate about? Is it something that we think about on a regular basis? And I know personally, hand up, I struggle to keep that vision deep in my heart. Like I talked about earlier, it's so easy to get caught up in everything that you've got to do to take care of your family and take care of your job and work on your house. And it's easy for this vision for planting churches to slip through the cracks. But what do you need to do to play your part? Maybe you need to pray and consider taking more responsibility in your home group. Maybe you need to join a team who is actively discipling somebody. Maybe you need to grow in using your gifting for the body in new or unique ways. What do we need to do to see LCF grow and multiply and reproduce? And let's be given to that. And I just want to say that, you know, we can spend our lives on a million different things, different structures, different organizations, a company, a political movement, community involvement, a sports team. But let's remember, building the church of Jesus Christ is the only thing that is going to last. Everything in the world is passing away, but the church of Jesus Christ is eternal. And so giving yourself to building the church is a work that will never return void. Why? Because you are building something that will last for all of eternity. And everything else that you could possibly give your time to pales in comparison to that. So evangelism, leading to discipleship, leading to planting churches. Let's bear the image of God in Lexington and reproduce that image so that we can participate in making that final image of the church, all nations, all tribes, all tongues, that we can make that a reality. And I want to close and just read that scripture again from Revelations. And let's get that big in our hearts. And this is what all of this effort is headed towards, the bride of Christ being presented to him in splendor and glory. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Amen.